Welcome to the Orlando Holiday Guide podcast show, presented by Hugh Hattrick in association with its Orlando Time Facebook page. Trusted, acknowledged, and respected.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Hattrick's Orlando Holiday Guide podcast show. And tonight, we're doing a live stream. That's right, it's our first ever live stream for Hattrick's Orlando Holiday Guide podcast show. And I have a very, very special guest. He's only 6 miles away from me, but here he is, Stephen Bird. It's good to have you on the show. How are you doing, Stephen?
Hi, Hugh. Very well, thank you. A little bit down in the dumps, but, you know, got to keep going.
That's right. Now, there's a reason why you're a little bit down in the dumps, isn't it? Because, very sadly, you had to cancel your Orlando holiday. You were about to be heading out there.
I should have been in Manchester tonight and flying out tomorrow morning. So you can imagine the feeling in the household at the moment.
It must be a bit grim. But there'll be a lot of people kind of watching this who'll be wondering, thinking, you know, how did the whole idea of, you know, when you had to get your holiday cancelled, was it a big issue trying to get it rearranged? Or you can mention the company that, for example, that you used. Mm-hmm. How did it go for obviously rearranging everything?
Well, we were flying out with a company with the bizarrest of name called Holiday Floridas, you know, completely poor grammar, but part of a very big organization, so I wasn't too worried. Hadn't given it a thought as what we were going to do on the Friday, and they actually phoned me on the Saturday to apologize for not phoning on the Friday, but they'd been a bit busy, surprisingly. Mm-hmm. And within half an hour of them phoning, they phoned back to say they'd booked me a secondary date out in the back end of September. So, a disappointing phone call, but sounds like there's a positive outcome, providing we get rid of this wretched virus.
Yeah, and we hope that by that time you would think it would be back up and running again. I mean, I think most of them are saying it might be a minimum of a month that they're doing at the moment as closures, but I don't see that reopening much before I would have thought May, even into June time, I would have thought, by the time, depending on how it goes in America and, of course, in other countries as well. But what would you say? Because obviously, you know, I think a lot of people are still quite nervous. And I want to welcome all the people who are watching from the It's Orlando Time Facebook page. Get that out properly. It's great to have you with us. It's a fantastic community. Well recommend it to all those who are watching, if they're not already in the It's Orlando Time Facebook page community. Great for advice. And I know that a lot of the questions that have been asked by some of the people in that group were all about, you know, they're going to be flying away, say, in May or June time, and they're wondering, do you think we're going to be heading away? And I think most people think that's probably not going to happen. I think it's going to be maybe August, as you say, before things really move, potentially maybe July time. But I think it's going to be quite a while. I mean, you were very relaxed about the whole thing, and I think that's probably the best way to go about it. Is that how you would kind of put forward if people are a bit concerned at the moment? What would you say is the best course of action?
Well, I think, like you say, it's the same as everything else. There's no point getting overexcited about something you've got no control over. If you're planning to go away, still look to plan to go away, but take advice, obviously, as the time gets nearer, from the powers that be.
To me, that's the thing. Now, if you're wanting to comment, it's quite difficult for us to see the comments on the Facebook page, because at the moment it seems to slow down the stream. So if at all possible, if you want to comment, if you comment here on YouTube, which you can see live, the link is on the It's Orlando Time Facebook page. And if you have a question for either myself or Stephen, then feel free to put it just a comment, and we will do our very best to answer your questions. So hopefully they'll come up here. We should be able to see them on the StreamYard here as we're going through YouTube and Facebook. So if you're on the Facebook page, if you can at all want to comment, then if you can comment on YouTube, that would be fantastic. So basically you're saying just be quite relaxed about it. And in the most place, I think the companies are going to come to you. I know that from looking at places like TUI and Virgin, they were all saying they will get in contact with customers near the time and not to worry. And basically they'll either rearrange or potentially look at refunding customers if they can't get a date. I think it's going to be interesting at the moment, but in September or August, when things maybe gradually get back to normal, we hope, or earlier than that, I think it's going to be a bit of a boom time, because all of a sudden everybody's going to want to head off every plane's going to be filled to the brim to get back over to Orlando. Do you think that will be the case?
Absolutely. I think it's going to be like a cork out of a champagne bottle because people will be so desperate to do stuff. Our flights that we've got booked at the end of September are both absolutely full in both directions. So there's no option to upgrade any of the seats. Do you know, and the other thing I'd say is if you haven't got insurance, get some good insurance. The downside for us is our insurance doesn't cover pandemics. So we would have lost all the holiday fund if it was just cancelled.
Really. So you're much, yeah. So it's, I think that's the biggest problem. I mean, I heard of a poor lady last couple of weeks who took her flight because the flights were still going ahead. And when they got to Orlando, after all that travel, they were basically told, well, what kind of holiday do you expect with the way things have been going? And she was unsure whether or not her travel insurance would cover her if they did go, because there was this rumor that obviously the parks would be closing and they would be very limited as to what they could do. So she ended up getting the return flight back to the UK. And that was that. So obviously they've lost their money because they decided to go anyway and not rearrange it. But they've went back and they only had basically a flight there and a flight back. So it's a huge amount of money to have cost them. Goodness knows how much that would have cost. But I think the best thing is just to try and rearrange. It's. I mean, I know now it's obvious that the borders are closed, so you can't fly across. But I think for people who are concerned, you just have to get in contact with the companies and they'll in turn rearrange for you.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. I mean, there's a lot of thought about, although we both think it might be quite busy come the initial freedom, if you like, they think that next year it may be, and even though it's their 50th anniversary, they think it may be a bit quieter out there in Walt Disney as people a bit more cautious about travelling around and, you know, mixing with the great unwashed, as it were.
Yeah. See, I agree. I think that there'll be some really good deals. I think if people who haven't maybe booked or are thinking about going over the next year or two, I think they'll be really keen to fill up the seats and get people back out there as soon as it's available. And the Walt Disney Center near the sea, right, we're opening up again. They're going to be desperate to go. Because, I mean, how much money have these companies lost? I mean, it's millions and billions. They're going to be desperate. You kind of wonder what Disney and Universal will do. You think there's a great chance for them to clean the place up, give it a lick of paint, you know, knock anything down they don't want and rebuild. You kind of wonder what they can do in that time. But we'll see. But we thought, we'll check our comments as they come through to see what kind of questions we get. But you've been to Orlando on numerous occasions, like myself. What are your kind of favourite places and favourite things to do in Orlando when you go there?
Well, obviously, like most people, we enjoy the parks, all of the parks, including the water parks. We do enjoy a good bargain, so we do tend to go a bit shopping, you know, if we get the chance to do a bit of shopping. When the pound's at the right exchange rate, it can be a bit awkward sometimes, especially at the moment. The one thing we are sat on is our holiday dollars at a good rate, so I'm pleased about that. And if we have a car, which we don't have every time we go out there, we do like to get down to the, you know, Cape Canaveral. We do like to get to the beaches and Daytona and places like that. Just like to get around and see all of it. It's the weather that we go for, you know, living in Scotland. we're not guaranteed those sort of temperatures. I mean, I do smile when they say it's cold and it's like, and it's 65 degrees and they go, it's very cold. And we're like, really? We're scraping cars in the morning still. So it's not very, it's not warm here at all.
It can be something, isn't it? I remember the first time we went with the family and it was the end of February, but the 25th of February when we got there. And it had been really cold around that time, kind of unseasonally cold for Florida. In fact, I think there'd even been a frost one day, or it'd been that cold. It'd been like they hadn't seen those kind of temperatures in years. And we were sitting at Gatwick Airport about to get our flight out to Orlando. And there was a lady who had just come back and she was waiting for our flight to go back up to Glasgow. She was sitting there saying, I've gone for 2 weeks to Orlando and I've hardly had a day of sunshine because it was these horrendous weather. And you thought, Oh goodness me, I hope it's going to be better by the time we get there. And the thing is, when we got there, it was quite nice. I mean, as soon as you get out of the airport, you feel the heat, you feel that humidity as it kind of hits you, which is one of the great things about it. But the next morning, once we'd gotten to our house and so on, our villa, and I remember opening the door because I was so keen to get out. It was like 8:30 in the morning. I thought, oh, I go outside, and it looked relatively sunny. but a wee bit of kind of grey in the sky. And so I opened the door and it was really cold. And I looked at the temperature gauge and it was at 9 degrees. And that was it. I thought, it's warmer in Scotland, you know. It was. So, but thankfully it did get a lot warmer than that. And it did, by the second day, it was pretty hot again. But actually this time of year can be quite a nice time to go because the temperatures aren't as hot as like in the summertime where it gets really, really hot.
Yeah.
How do you find, because you've been a few times at this time of year or right about Easter time.
I find it a good time to go, Hugh, before the spring break really kicks in. The weather's picking up nicely. It's not too busy and the humidity is very manageable. You know, when, like say in the summer, you've got 110% humidity. It rains every day. This is a good time of year to go. It doesn't rain so often. Our next booking, like I say, is in September. Well, we're getting close to hurricane season then. Not done that. The weather's going to be good in September. You know, the temperatures are still good. Hopefully we get away and we'll just enjoy it.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I've been once or twice in September and then also in October. And then it starts to cool down towards the end of October. It's again quite nice weather where the humidity kind of calms down a bit as well. So it's pretty good. But the last time we went was in April for Easter, and it was great weather. In fact, we went to Busch Gardens. Mm-hmm. One of the things, but it was only about 17 or 18 to begin with. And then it did get quite a bit hotter later on in the day. But it was almost like a kind of warm summer's day at Berwick upon Tweed because they actually had an east wind and it was quite a cool wind, you know. So it was actually lovely. And then Busch Gardens is a really good park, one of my favourites. So it was actually really pleasant weather to go around to that. You know, if you want to go on the roller coasters and things like that, you're not standing in the heat. Because we'd gone to Legoland a few days before and it was so hot. You know, we're having to drink bottles and bottles of water to try and keep cool because you had to wait for some of the rides for nearly an hour. And you're just melting in the queues, you know, kind of waiting for that to happen. But because you've been to Disney quite a bit, how do you find coping with all of that? Because, I mean, it's a big thing. For someone who's never been there, what would you say is the how to prepare for that?
Like you say, the best thing to do is make sure you've got plenty of cold water. There's plenty of drinking fountains around the parks now. A handheld fan can be quite useful as well if you think you're going to be stood out in the queues. But the way to avoid it is to crack on early in the morning for the rope drop and then maybe spend the rest of the day after sort of 11 o'clock till tea time back at your hotel or wherever you're staying and then drop back into the parks later in the evening as the temperature, you know, as it cools down again and there's not so many folks around. Middle of the day, it can be very busy. And some of the rides, the newer rides, it's two and a half hours. And I even see that Universal, when they opened the Hagrid's motorbike ride, that was a 10-hour queue. And I'm like, I wouldn't stand in a queue for 10 hours for anything. I'm sorry.
No, that's kind of crazy, isn't it? That I know that. So I remember once, in fact, the I think it was in 2016, we went to, it was the first time we'd ever been to Disney, to Magic Kingdom. And I took Nicholas back because he was quite young at the time. So we left Yvonne and Grace with, to do a bit more. And it was so busy and quite warm. But we came back about 4:30 or 5 o'clock. So when all the people were marching out, we were coming in. and it does make a big difference because the queues were, it was really easy to get onto stuff very quickly. And then we stayed for the fireworks at the end. So it was really good. And that was great fun to see all of that. It's a nice atmosphere, but it definitely quietens down, as you say, later on in the day. Because you've been at Disney hotels as well as villas. How do you find the difference between the two for maybe people who haven't been to either?
From a cost point of view, there's about the same cost all in because we tend to take the meal packages as well. So there's no money to be spent once we get there, apart from tipping your waiters and such likes. And even in the hotels, you have the same freedom as you would have at a villa. You just don't have that space. You know, when you stop in a villa, you know yourself, they're 4 and 5 bedrooms, so you can all scatter around the house and disappear into your little corners. You don't quite get that in a hotel room. It doesn't matter how good they are. But the Disney, we have Alexander with a type 1 diabetes, and Disney are very, very good at looking after any of our needs on that side of things. So, you know, from a medical point of view, we can't fault them.
Yeah, that's pretty good, isn't it? I think now, I mean, because that's probably one of the biggest concerns people have, if they have children who have got underlying medical conditions, they want to make sure that everything is covered and that they've got the right kind of medical facilities if they need that. I know from talking to you before, you were saying that the medical facilities at Disney are first rate, and they really put everything out to make sure that everything is as good as it can be.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Sharps bins, they have Sharps bins in every single toilet block. So you're not having to carry used needles from blood testing around with you or when you've injected. It's just brilliant. It makes life so easy not having to carry all that extra stuff around, you know, all day when you've used it.
How do you find that, obviously, with something like diabetes, does the heat really affect that, having to walk around a lot in the hot weather?
Walking around, not so much a problem walking around, but certainly if he had to stand in queues for a long time, his insulin does burn off quicker. So we have been to give more insulin to him to just keep his blood sugars at a reasonable level. But on the whole, we do manage quite well. And on the days that we're going to have stay at the villa or at the hotel where we're just going to be in the pool all day, we actually take him off his pump and give him an injection in the morning, which will keep him going all day as a rule. And then we just have to give him a bit of extra insulin when it comes to mealtimes. And, you know, when we've fed him, he's got to have a bit more insulin to take care of the carbs in his food.
Yeah, because that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, there's no doubt, there's a wonderful feeling when you come back from a theme park. You tend to be kind of knackered at the end of the day, but you've got a smile on your face because you've had a great time. And I never forget, I think it was at Legoland, I think we were at the first time. And we went on the pirate ship. And it was this kind of pirate's kind of curve or pirate's cove. And you had to go around and you had to go under a waterfall in these boats. And people would fire water at you as you went past. And you had to fire back and the whole thing. And you'd fire at other boats. And it was absolutely brilliant. Very, very good. And they did say you were going to get wet, but from some angles, people didn't get quite so wet as others, depending where you were sitting in this boat. And my daughter was sitting there, and we tried to warn her that the waterfall was coming up, and she was kind of ignoring me. And then all of a sudden, this great big splash, and that was it. She was completely kind of soaked. So we all kind of squelched back from that ride to the car, and then the car steamed up the whole time going back because we were all kind of evaporating as we headed back to our hotel or to our villa at the time. But you know, it was great fun actually. And of course, because it's warm, you dry up quite quickly. So it's not like being back in Britain where it's freezing and catching pneumonia. It's you hardly notice it at the time. But yeah, what are some of your kind of like? Do you have some of the favorite moments that you've had at Disney? Because you've seen, you know, like Magic Kingdom. Were you at the safari one as well?
We stopped at the Animal Kingdom the last time we were out there. It's just very special. We didn't take a room with the savannah view because the animals are actually viewable from near the swimming pools and stuff like that. So that was good. And then we've stopped in some of the Disney Vacation Club places, Old Key West. Absolutely fabulous apartment. So that was different to a hotel again. You actually had a full apartment, and that gave us a bit of extra space. It was a different way of seeing things out there. A bit of advice about people if they're traveling with younger folks, and you'll know this yourself, is don't think that with young children you can do a whole day in the parks. Children get tired, adults get tired, everybody gets grumpy. So if you want to stop and see the fireworks, which is highly recommended, you know, don't go into the parks first thing in the morning and still expect to be there at 9-10 o'clock at night. It's just not feasible.
Yeah, it's too much. Yeah.
You're asking for trouble.
Yeah, no, I think you have to go away or just come in at night time. And normally as well, but they don't charge you the fees if you come back at night time for like the parking and things. If you come in a bit later, they close the car park, or they close the payment centre, so you can get in and out quite easily. But I think if you come in after 7 or 8, I think it is, depending on which one. It's definitely, because I think some people feel you have to do so much because you're going so far, you're spending all that money, you've got to do all these parks. But actually, we always thought just do about 3 parks in the whole 2 weeks, and that was more than enough.
And then
you can enjoy it, because you know, when you're sitting there in your pool in Orlando in your villa and you can look out at the sun, you think, do I really have to go to a park at all?
But you're right, it is the temptation, is if, like say, it's a huge investment, so the first time you go is you think you've got to try and do it all, and actually you just spoil it by trying to cram too much in. And it is, just be sensible. You're not going to do it all in one go. You'll be gobsmacked and you'll want to go again, basically. And you know, there's us looking at going their 10th time now, so it's, there must be something about it.
That's the thing. Have you ever been down to Daytona Beach? Because of course you can drive your car along Daytona Beach.
I've driven on Daytona Beach. Wouldn't drive my own car there, but hire a car, who cares? Trash it down the beach a bit, you know, watch out for the police because you're not allowed to go very quick on the beaches. And we've been all the way down the Keys as well. Been all the way down to Key West and had some proper Key Lime pie down there, you know. And you could wave at people from Cuba from the bottom end, but you can't smoke the cigars, so that's a bit funny. But
I've heard some people say that if you go out of the Orlando area and you go further south, because we went to Sarasota and Clearwater one year, and it was a little bit cheaper actually out there. Some of the restaurants were maybe not quite as expensive as you would get in Orlando. Have you found that as well, if you've traveled a bit further out?
Yeah, I mean, we did find that as we traveled further out, and picking up motels en route and stuff like that, in Everglades City and places like that, they were very, very reasonable. You know, you're looking at like $40 a night for a nice quality hotel, and it's like that's, you know, that is good value. But I met a guy once in downtown Disney, or Disney Springs, and he was from New York, and he said, I'm never coming here again. He said, the food's so expensive, and yet, like yourself, even in Orlando, the food is still cheaper than eating out in the UK. So it was the first time I heard that. I was like, seriously, you have no idea how cheap this is compared to the UK.
Well, we used to go to the Aishiban Japanese and Chinese restaurant, the buffet, which is on the 192, very near Kissimmee, or very near Old Town Kissimmee and Fun Spot, just in that area. And it was like $7.99 for a lunch. And I think in the evening it was like $12 or maybe $10.99, and that's dollars. And the thing is, we always used to get these papers from the tourist shops, you know, that had the vouchers on them.
The coupon clipper.
I have a coupon clipper. And then so I would clip on these things, and they used to hate me. So I would come in, I would go there night after night, and they'd be like, I've got like another $3 or $4 off. And that, so they'd be expecting a huge tip at the end of it. But you'd get, you know, for what it was, and at that time you're getting like $1.40, you know, to the pound. So you've got an amazing meal for about £7 or £8 at night time, and then like £6 during the day or at lunchtime. And they had a really lovely, lovely variety of food, and it was good quality, you know, it was really decent.
The beauty of those places is it doesn't matter how faddy your kids are or anybody is, there's something there that'll suit absolutely the whole family. That's, you know, there's just so much choice.
Aye. We did go to one Chinese restaurant on the 192 that advertises at $4.99. This was a few years ago, and I said, we're gonna try that one then, aren't we? And it was a bit like Trains, Planes, and Automobiles, you know. And we went in, and literally, it was actually quite a nice features on the thing. But I love dim sum, and they had dim sum at lunchtime in this restaurant for $4.99. And the thing is, I had some, and then my family had other bits and pieces, and literally, our stomachs started to rumble all at the same time. So this is at that point we were staying at Regal Oaks. And although there were four of us, there were three bathrooms in the house of Regal Oaks. And as soon as we got back into the house, we were all saying, "Bugs me this bathroom, and it bugs me that one." And it just went quiet for about 10 minutes after that. But you know, it was the whole thing. So it was, so some of them are better than others, put it that way.
At $4.99, you're going to get $4.99's worth, aren't you?
Goodness knows what it might be or what it was. But I've always been amazed that in the most part, the food you get is actually very good value, and it's pretty decent. It's very rare that you actually get food poisoning. I think in all the main areas, they're pretty good these days, because they know that if they have got on a bad display of food, or, you know, if the food isn't great, people will just avoid it like the plague. I mean, they'll get a terrible review, and that'll be it. But yeah, so no, it's, although I do laugh when people go to CC's Pizza, because they always think how great CC's Pizza is. And I went there once, it was absolutely dreadful. And I've been twice. And the first time I went was in 2008, and we were desperately looking for a restaurant, me and my mate, who were the first time we ever went to America. And literally there was pizza on the floor as we went in the restaurant. It was this mess. And so we walked in, we had a look, and we just came straight back out again, because we thought, no, I'm not going in there. And I went with my wife, because she likes pizza. And the thing is, we went for the buffet, and all the pizza looked exactly the same. And they all had different names as to what it was. But the chicken was exactly the same as the tomato and cheese. There was all these little squares on it of toppings. And I thought, this is terrible. And there was no flavour or anything to it. But I think, obviously, there's proper pizza places. There's that Italian. I'm trying to remember the famous Italian one on International Drive. Is it Olive Garden? Is it Olive
Garden? Olive Garden's one of the better restaurants.
Yeah, they're very good.
As multinationals go, yeah, the food in there is very good.
And
the other one that we really like is the Cheesecake Factory.
That's supposed to be good, isn't it? Yeah.
They're stunning. That, you know, there's always at least 52 varieties of cheesecake on sale, and their one portion is big enough to feed a family of four. It's just crazy stuff and fabulous. Like I say, good food. I don't think I've been to too many restaurants like yourself where you have to wipe your feet on the way out. That's a very unusual way to go.
When you put sanitizer on before you go. It's not supposed to be used as mouthwash, you know. it was something, but I know, as you say, most of them are pretty good. We went to a Denny's, and we actually had a great meal at Denny's. Mm-hmm. It's all the food, all, like, you know, you tend to get a lot of, like, barbecue sauces, so it's all quite strong and quite sweet. The kind of the food, the kind of taste of it all. But it is good fun, and it's always, there are always things for the kids. Like, there was one chap who was making balloons, so he had like Mickey Mouse balloons for the kids and things like that. And then they made a Minions one and all of that. And it was free of charge. You could just ask them to come and do it, which was really good. But I'm trying to think of this. There's a really good one that makes waffles. I'm not sure if it's what, it's not Waffle House, but it's another one.
Is it IHOP?
Yes, IHOP. Yeah, I always wanted to go to that. But I heard it's supposed to be really, really good.
Yeah, it's a good breakfast spot. If you like your pancakes or waffles, the International House of Pancakes is absolutely stunning. Good. And they know, you know, when they say a short stack and you go, well, I'll have a short stack, and you get about half a dozen pancakes turn up, you think, good job I didn't have the tall stack.
For about $5 or something, isn't it?
Yeah, they certainly know to give you the carbs to keep you going all day anyway.
Yeah, that's it. Lots of eggs and other things in them, isn't it? But we went to Sizzlers once back in 2008 when it was a financial crash. And it was $3 for a breakfast at Sizzlers, right? And it was a full breakfast buffet. And it had everything from, you know, all the sausages and eggs and everything else. And I think you paid a little bit extra for a drink. But it was like unlimited drinks once you'd paid for it. So I'm sure we paid like $4.50. for a massive breakfast, and it was incredible. In those days, it was just insanely cheap, because obviously the recession had just hit, so everything was they were desperate for your business, and I kind of wonder, are we going to see a little bit of that, depending on how it hits, you know, the retail wise in Florida in the coming months? Because you think that, you know, you hope they can keep going, because otherwise it's going to be disastrous if they don't.
I think it's going to be very difficult. You know, it's the places, or the most places will bounce back. There'll be help packages. You know, the governments are going to have to step up and just print money, because it's only numbers at the end of the day. You know, it's not real. None of this money that everybody says we owe each other doesn't exist. It's just numbers on a piece on a computer. It's not an actual amount of cash. You know, there isn't pallets of dollar bills waiting to be sent out somewhere. It just doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's not based on the gold value anymore.
No, not at all. So I think, there will be bargains to be had. I think there'll be a lot of opportunities. I was saying to a neighbour, you know, as a self-employed person, even if your business fails during this sort of period, self-employed people just dust themselves off and get back on. What shall I do next?
You know,
you just get on and you make a living. You've got to do it.
Aye. No, that's it. That's the thing. Oh, no, that's great. Well, I think we've covered a good bit of topics there as to how to get on when we go to Orlando. And I really appreciate you coming on the show to answer our questions and to see what it's like. And I'm sure the folk listening and watching We've had, to be fair, we've not had comments on this, but I've had issues with StreamYard showing my comments coming through. But if you do have any comments or if you have questions, if you email them to info@hughhattrick.com, and I will do my best to reply and answer to them for our next guest and for the next show as well, as we do our weekly Hattrick's Orlando podcast show, which will be, I'll make that into a podcast and put that out tomorrow. So you'll be able to get that from there. And of course, you've got my the guide, the hard copy of the guide, which you can go on to hughhattrick.com and order a copy for just £5.50, including free postage to anyone in the UK and also in Europe. But we hope you've enjoyed that. If you stay on the line just now, Stephen, but for all our viewers and listeners, thank you very much for watching. And we hope that you are well and staying clear of this horrendous virus that's going about. But take care, keep upbeat, and we'll speak to you next week.